topic that we should have clear understanding of. It's pretty essential to our perfection. To start off, let's turn to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here we see the importance of diligence, is that we need to diligently seek the Lord, if he will reward us. And knowing this, that is what we must do. And the importance of diligence is pretty undebatable. Now that we've looked at that a bit, we should look at the aspects of diligence. What exactly does this word mean? What does it encompass? Let's turn to Proverbs 4:20-23. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So this should help with our understanding of concept of diligence. God tells us here to not let his words depart from our eyes and keep them in the midst of our heart. And next he tells us to keep our heart with all diligence. This shows that diligence is in relation to the upkeep of our heart and our faith. We must earnestly and continuously keep our heart up and not stopping. We can't waver. We must be diligent. Please turn to Psalms 119:59-60. Next is Psalms 119:59-60. I thought on my ways and turned my feet into thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The Lord showed here that we must make haste keeping his commandments, doing them all without delay. The word haste here is defined as to hurry, to be eager with excitement or enjoyment. So not only must we do his works without delay, we must do it with excitement and joy. Let's continue with another revealing verse about this concept. Please turn to Proverbs 12:27. Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not which he took in hunting, and the substance of a diligent man is precious. So this here is an example that uses the sport of hunting. I don't hunt at all, but usually I believe you eat what you kill a lot of the time. He's saying a slothful man doesn't do that. He just leaves it alone. He doesn't even mess with it. But those who are diligent cook and eat it, and it's precious. The difference here is between slothfulness and diligence. And note that not only does a diligent man actually cook it, but it is precious, which means that diligence involves a quality and effort into the work. We must be thorough as well. We must get rid of our slothful habits that we have and put diligence. Please turn to Ecclesiastes 9:10. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom of the grave whither thou goest. This builds upon the last scripture. We must be people who aren't lazy, but instead working hard, doing what is required of us to please the Lord to the absolute best of our ability. Please turn to Matthew 24:46-51. Matthew 24:46-51. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But in if that evil servant shall slay in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, that shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now here shows an example of diligence and also a contrast example of someone who is not being diligent. It shows that this includes being responsible. The evil servant went off when his Lord wasn't there and ate and got drunk when he was supposed to be doing his work, but the diligent one, even though his master was absent, he continued working. We should look at the evil servant's example with disdain, behold it as an example of the dead opposite of what we strive to be. We try to be responsible as well, to be like the righteous servant who works, regardless if someone is present or not, regardless of the time it may take, and with no regard to what we like or not, but doing it purely for our Lord. The last aspect of diligence is quite likely the most important aspect, and we'll see why as we turn to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Sorry, it's supposed to be 22 to 24, not 23. But there it is right there. We must do all things heartily unto the Lord, not unto men. This ties in with all of the other aspects of being responsible, earnestness, thoroughness, and with haste without delay. Doing this for the Lord, we're not doing this to be noticed or to be praised by men, or not just because we're just not simply because we have to, but we should be doing it willingly, putting our heart into every task we get assigned, so that it's done to the absolute best of our ability. Those are the overall aspects diligence encompasses. Why are these so important to our faith? Please turn to 1 Peter 1, 3 to 8, 1 Peter 1, 3 to 8. According as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is a pretty well-known scripture. The Lord states here that we must have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, etc., all this stuff in our heart. It's very important. At the beginning, he tells us to do this, giving all diligence. This, again, relates to the earlier passage in Proverbs 4. The reason that diligence is important is because it is to keep our heart, to gain these qualities we need for perfection. It's important that we have this heart within us to do all we're commanded to do in the absolute best way we can. Now we've discussed the aspects of diligence. Next, we should go through examples of people who were diligent that the Lord has given us in different situations. We'll start with Noah. Please turn to Genesis 7. Genesis 7, verses 1 to 6. Genesis 7, 1 to 6. And the Lord saith unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the earth by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have will be made will be destroyed off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Now, please turn to Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, as shown by the scripture, through the Lord's favor for Noah and the fact that he was one of the few righteous people left upon earth, he warned him and told him to make an ark for animals and his family to go in when the Lord flooded the earth. We all know this story. It's a lot of us told this even as children. But, I mean, at least for me, it's something that's kind of, I've never like really wrapped my head around. Noah worked every day for 100 years to build this thing. Not only was he working, he was also preaching to the people of the world, who, of course, didn't listen. It was a very difficult job. And he obeyed what the Lord commanded. And without hesitation, he worked diligently. He didn't argue. It's very highly unlikely we'll get a similar assignment, but we should aspire to achieve that level of diligence. Another person who was highly diligent, someone who was renowned for patience within the Bible, Job. Please turn to Job 1, Job 1, where we'll read verses 1 to 5. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent call for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. So all this is all prior to all the horrible things Satan put Job through. He was a very righteous and upright man who hated evil, and he continually did the Lord's will. You can note particularly here that he was making sacrifices for the sins of his children day after day. You know, they were very evil, consistently evil people. He was definitely a very diligent man. Well, let's continue reading the verses 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, that has blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." But the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine heart." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So, of course, Job goes through a lot of hardships. He has massive wealth, and all his belongings are taken away from him. He becomes really poor. His children all die. Even his health is taken away as he gets stricken with boils. We're not going to read through that. That's a very commonly known story. But does Job do what Satan predicted? Does he curse God and die? Well, let's see. If we turn to Job 2. Job 2, we'll read verses 4 through 7. Verses 7 through 10. I don't know what it was. Upbeat numbers, but. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot into his crown, and took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. The Lord allowed Satan to curse Job, terribly afflict him, but he still remained steadfast. He said nothing against the Lord and continued to do his will. I mean, after this, he had even more temptation. And his worldly friends appear and try to talk him out of faith, but he withstands that temptation as well. Job truly was a righteous and patient man, but he also shows a lot of diligence here in upkeeping of his heart and his faith. He's doing this regardless of all the evil and all this evil stuff that's happening to him. Again, this is another great example of the diligence we should strive to attain. Even through harsh temptation, we should keep our faith. Another good example of diligence would be David. Please turn to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." David specifically is well known for slaying the giant Goliath, which is another story from a lot of people's childhoods and lives. His escapades fleeing from Saul and his reign over Israel. And as we all know, before that, David was a keeper of the sheep for his father when Samuel first met him. I mean, it seems like a fairly difficult job, right? How could he keep numerous sheep from the paws of destruction? Maybe he wouldn't even attempt. Well, you think that, but please turn to 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 to 36. This is where David is trying to convince Saul to let him fight Goliath. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after them, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. My servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." So here's David, a faithful servant of the Lord, about to go fight a nearly 10-feet-tall man. But he mentions here that during the keeping of the sheep, he killed both a lion and a bear that came and took a lamb out of the flock. David didn't just sit back and let that happen. He didn't sit back and have somebody else take care of the problem. He just let the lamb die. I mean, maybe count your losses, there's only one lamb. But no, he went, chased down the beast and killed them. A child chased down two large animals and killed them and still saved the prey. I know I would have no ability to do that. The Lord was with him, of course, but this definitely shows that David is no normal keeper of the sheep. He's really a great example of being diligent in a job that's not directly for God, such as preaching and conversion. But he truly did keep the sheep heartily for the Lord. Likely, one of the most diligent servants of the Lord would be Paul. Please turn to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by commandment of our God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And to Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from the honor of Father in Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the beginning of this letters to Timothy. And Paul was kind of a helper to Timothy among the many other things he did. He tried to use his knowledge to assist him, specifically in recorded epistles, but of course that's not all he did. He turned to Galatians 1, verses 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, which raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, he wrote the epistle Galatians 2 as well as many other epistles, of course, with inspiration from God. But not only did he write these, he was actively involved in all these congregations. Obviously, he wasn't there all the time, but he stayed in contact with these people. He also visited to preach, which is as simple as a quick drive is today. He was a very large figure in the upkeep of the congregations he had established. Not only this, but he was a missionary. Please turn to Acts 13, verses 1 to 5. Now, there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they had been sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. This is one example for this beginning of Paul's, he's first known as Saul here, first missionary journey. Out of three documented journeys, along with the upkeep of his heart and the church, he also went out and preached and attempted to convert a lot during his lifetime. And please turn to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. This verse here describes Paul quite well. He labored long and hard to preach people the gospel of God. Paul was a very busy man who devoted just about all of his time since his conversion to the Lord's work and doing it the way the Lord wanted. Of course, all the other apostles were quite diligent as well, but Paul is in a category of his own on this one. He's definitely suffered the most affliction as well, but he's steadfast. He's a great role model for us in this way, and we should aim to emulate that diligence. The last example that we will show here of people being diligent will also coincide with another answer to the question, why do we need diligence? Please turn to John 5, verses 41 to 44. John 5, verses 41 to 44. I received not honor from them, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Example here is Jesus. Jesus was the dead opposite of the Pharisees, doing everything heartily unto the Lord, and not simply for the glory of men. We definitely need to imitate this trait of his, not aiming to please men, but to do our best to please our Father. Please turn to Hebrews 5, verses 5 to 9. Hebrews 5:5-9. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, and was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned the obedience of things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Christ, as we know, was a perfect man. He was tested in every way we were, but naturally, he would follow the Lord, the Father, with diligence. He did all the Lord commanded, spending his entire life, well, since a certain age, studying, preaching, and traveling. He even started doing this at the age of 12. He was truly amazing and had an undying obedience and diligence toward the Lord. He was put through many afflictions and crucified on the cross, but saved by his Father. He kept his heart, even during affliction. The ultimate goal is to be like him in every way, not barring his undying diligence. Lastly, I'd like to touch again on our use of diligence. As covered earlier, we need to be diligent with every task we do in this life, as well as diligent in the upkeep of our heart. But not just in our heart, we need to be diligent in something else as well. Please turn to Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. They may be not slothful, but followers of him who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're commanded here not just to show diligence in labor, and to keep our faith, but also show diligence in assuring our hope unto the end, that the Lord will come in all of our belief in the Lord God. We've got to keep up our faith, our hope, our belief in our Lord until the end, unslothful and unwavering. In our lives, we must strive to be diligent in our labor and in our faith unto the end. And they now have the invitation song, or song before the invitation.
The next song will be number 184.